We've all been raised on television to believe that one day we'd all be millionaires and movie gods and rock stars. But we won't. We're slowly learning that fact. And we're very, very pissed off. Yeah.
Everybody, here we are doing this again. Today is, I don't know, let me take a look. It is, what is that, Saturday, April 6th. It is a Saturday, I said that, yeah, Saturday, April 6th. Welcome to the podcast. Okay, so today, the musical guest is formerly a one-man band, but he has now branched out and hired band members and whatnot. It is the Bones of J.R. Jones. Take a listen.
When I'm looking for some pain, for some pain.
And we'll be hearing some more about from him later and how I know and learned about old J.R. Jones himself. So let's start off with the sucky part first. All right, so let's get to the sucky part. So, the sucky part. The company I work for has this very nasty habit of laying off a bunch of people every year. And it does not seem to matter how well the company is doing, the health, the sales, the revenue, the nothing. It doesn't seem to matter. They're just like, nah, let's just get rid of some dead weight. Let's just get rid of those folks. And it's kind of weird, right? Because the people who have been there more than a year, they start to notice this trend of like, oh, we're doing this again. Okay. And, you know, it's funny too, because like the higher ups, they do that thing that everybody gets really serious. You know, they have the all hands meeting and they say, well, you know, yesterday was very tough for all of us, and everybody, all the leadership is, you know, on, got their cameras on, and the Zoom grid is full of faces, all doing their very best to be looking right into the camera and paying attention and not being distracted and having their concerned face on. But if you've been there for more than one round of layoffs, you're like, oh, it's this again. Oh, okay. Until this most recent time. So now this most recent time is interesting because our company recently was acquired. And we were formerly a publicly traded company on the stock exchange. And when we were acquired, we were taken private and all our stock was converted into cash, which, you know, is interesting because, you know, it's then, well, then what do? You can't hand out stock anymore to the new hires. So you just are like, I don't know, more money. Anyway, look, I'm getting distracted. The point is that, we were taken private. We have new owners. And in the most recent, all hands meeting, they were like, yeah, you know, the new owners are real excited about us and they're going to be investing in more resources overseas. And it's like, okay, I get it, right? Like, American engineers are expensive. Let's hire more people overseas. You know, we want to expand. It's way cheaper to do so over, you know, in India, which they specifically called out. India was where they were expanding. And then it is in the United States. Probably United States engineers are the most expensive. So, okay. And then that all made sense until, oh, and they did lay off a couple of people from our department. And to be fair, we did not need them, you know. So So everything was reasonable and understandable about why they did what they did until my boss's job got posted in India for the India location. So the implication is they're going to hire that person. And as soon as that person gets hired, they are going to fire my boss. And then, well, you know, it doesn't make any sense to have the boss be in India and everybody else be in the United States. So let's fire them and then we'll rehire those positions in India. So this whole idea of, oh, we're going to be expanding into India, that's not true. It's we're going to be laying off a bunch of people and then replacing them with people in India. Very different, right? Now, this whole thing has gotten me very introspective, very angry, of course, because what happens is, well, think of it. What's interesting is I am in a weird position, right? Like, I am technically an engineer, which is weird for me because I've never been an engineer before. I've always been a support person. But so let's think about that. Let's think about me being a support person. The last job I just had, by the way, a lot of those support people got laid off. I would not be surprised if they got those jobs rehired again in India. I don't know that, but I'm gonna guess that's the case. So what's interesting about all of this, though, is it kind of makes me wonder, what is the future of American software engineers, right? Because I guess you just have to be cool with the idea that you are gonna get laid off every 2 years. And I mean, good God, like, if you've ever had to deal with software engineers, they suck. Like, they don't want to fix anything. They don't give a shit about the customers. They only want to make new stuff. Like, it's really, really annoying to try and work with them. Well, surprise, surprise, this is why, right? Because they don't give a shit. They don't care because they know they're going to get laid off at any second. And I guess software engineers in the United States are in demand enough that they can easily find another job. I'm not one of those people, so I struggle a lot, especially when I was doing support, struggling a lot to, you know, find a job. And every interview, they're like, well, do you know this piece of software? And I'm like, no. And I'm like, but I do know. Next. You know, they don't want to train anybody. They just want to get in somebody who already knows exactly the software that they use. And they can, right? They can find that person. So I was talking about this with my friends, and we came to the conclusion that it's like, well, if you're an American startup, then you want American engineers, right? You need the American engineers to, you know, get your company going, get it off the ground. And after about 2 years, the company either is successful and it gets bought, or you run out of money and you go out of business. So either way, every 2 years, you're out of a job, because as soon as your company gets bought, the company does what my company just did, which was they look around and they go like, well, we need to expand and you fuckers are too expensive. So we're gonna lay you off and go get some India engineering. So it's a very frustrating situation right now. So, yeah. Oh, I forgot. So this latest all hands meeting was a little bit interesting because not so many people with sad faces this time around. I think because most of those people got fired. Right, we were down to like three people. Well, that's not true. This was the smaller. This was just our department. So I guess there were fewer people anyway. But there was a guy on the call who said, you know, I wondered when I was thinking about selling my company, people asked me, like, why did you sell your company to them? Meaning the company I'm working for right now. And I'm just sitting there looking at this going like, oh my God, could you be more tone deaf? Could you be more unrelatable to all of these people who have targets on their back that they are going to get laid off next? Good grief. All right, well, stay tuned, true believers, to see how much longer I have a job. I know I titled the episode Outsourced. Who knows, right? I mean, it's a little preemptive. They have to hire this other person. I don't know if they're going to wait till they get up to speed before they start laying people off, because this system sucks. Like, the system that we have built, even though we are using an out-of-the-box solution run and maintained by somebody else, we have all these little custom scripts that do things because we have very particular revenue recognition rules and whatnot, and what you do with rounding of pennies and things. So, I mean, if they just go through and just wholesale lay us all off, they're in a world of hurt. Because that means that nobody will know how any of it works, which I would find hilarious. Okay, so let's get on to more positive things. Just as a weird side note, so our kid goes to sleep listening to music every night. I assume that's because they like it, not because they're trying to, you know, mask the fact that they're making sounds that they shouldn't be or chatting with their friends. I'm pretty sure it's just because they like it. And normally it's some band or song I've never heard of, and that's fine. Like, look, my parents thought my music was alien to their ears, and goodness knows it's almost impossible for me to keep up with new music. So the fact that I don't recognize any of it, it's fine. I mean, it's just expected, right? Until the other day, Billy Joel's Piano Man was coming out of her room as she went to sleep. And I thought, all right, got a win. Yeah, got something that I played in the car, penetrated her ears, and she liked it enough to play it as she goes to sleep. Yay me. Yay us. Yay Billy Joel. All right, so one of the things we did really recently is we went to Ashland, Oregon, and home of the Ashland Shakespeare Festival. And that thing is no joke. They have entire theaters. Well, that's because of Microsoft. Some Microsoft dude put a whole bunch of money into Ashland because he loves Shakespeare, I guess? I don't know. And dumped it into there and said, okay, we got a theater now. And, you know, it's all built, not the whole city, but like a lot of the stuff is built around the Shakespeare Festival. And they've got stores that are, you know, oh, a three-penny, none the richer wardrobe alterations, or whatever. I don't know. But they're all, like, a lot of the stores in downtown are named Shakespearean kind of things. Oh, the three-penny upper and phone company. I don't know. Anyway, boy, that was an awful stretch. It's lovely up there. We went when it was still snowing. It was not snowing in downtown Ashland. Oh, by the way, To get a sense of what Ashland looks like, it's downtown Ashland's a small town. It's kind of like being in downtown Los Gatos. It's, you know, small streets, very walkable, lots of cutesy stuff, very touristy oriented, but lovely, right? And the people we were staying with live three blocks away from, finger air quotes, downtown. I mean, there isn't really a down. I mean, when I say downtown, it's not very big. It's just a few blocks. But the big takeaway about Ashland is, the people we were staying with, they turned me on to the bones of Richard Grossman. No, wait, what's this guy's name? The bones of J.R. Jones. That's it. That's why I'm bringing him here to you, because he's funky and banjo-driven and kind of cool, just like Ashland, Oregon is, banjo-driven. But the big takeaway about Ashland is it was not snowing in Ashland while we were there, but we did go visit the snow. Now, visiting the snow in California, I mean, from the Bay Area, I should say, is a Herculean effort, right? Because you have to drive probably 6 hours. I mean, I know a lot of you are like, no, come on, man, it's only four. Yeah, well, it's four in nice weather. But of course, when you're going into the snow, it's usually snowing and bad weather. And so all the traffic moves slower. You're probably going on a holiday weekend, so that means even more people, which means it's even slower. And it means you are up there at least for the weekend, at least for the night, right? I know that there are some maniacs who are like, we gotta get up at 4 a.m. and then drive for 6 hours and then ski all day and then sleep in your car and then drive home and we'll be home by midnight all in one day. And it's like, oh, hell no, that sounds like a nightmare. So, you know, between the gas, the ski lifts, which are hundreds of dollars for each person, the hotel, the parking, like everything, it's an investment just to go up to the snow if you're doing it in the Bay Area. Now, let's compare that to life in Ashland, where we drove, took us half an hour. There was nobody on the roads. We got up to the mountain. It was super windy at the top of the mountain. But then we just kind of head down this little parking lot a little bit farther. And if you just keep going past the parking lot, it's just fresh, unadulterated snow. It was probably 2 feet deep by that point. And there was a path you could walk down and you could just play in the snow as your heart's content. And we brought ourselves a snow saucer, and there were other families there with sleds, and we had a grand old time. And parking was $3. We were up there for, hour and a half. We got tired and we were like, okay, let's go home. And then we had lunch in the big city. But I mean, compare that, like, if you love going to the snow, like, this is the place to be, man. So our thanks to Wes and Tracy for letting us crash at their place while we investigate the fair town of Ashland, Oregon. So thank you guys, it was a hoot. Okay, so now this may sound like a bad thing, but it has a happy ending. So we'll start bad. So I'm old, right? I'm an older man, and I noticed I started having trouble getting boners. Like, my dick was not playing along, and it just came out of nowhere. And it did not matter if I was with another person, like a tranny that you meet down by the railroad tracks. Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't say tranny. Gay sex worker. There you go. It wasn't a transvestite, because he was definitely a dude. Anyway, I digress. It didn't matter if I was with another person or by myself. The boners were just not happening. And, you know, I tried a bunch of things. I had in the past these dick pills that I raved about on this podcast. I got some more of those, you know, the ones I did have, I had stopped taking them, and the ones I did have, it expired, and so I was like, well, I'll just go get new ones, and I got those, and they didn't help, and so I was like, well, now what do I do? And I had always said, you know, if anything ever happened to my penis, you'd be goddamn sure that I would get to the doctor lickety split and get me something to fix this up. Well, so we live in a magical time. We live in a magical time where some things seem borderline illegal, but I don't care. It works out for my best interest. For instance, getting away from the boner stuff, so when I started having dick problems, I was like, okay, you know what? This is fine. This is finally the time I cut back on alcohol. I had been drinking way too much, and I was just like, all right, I'm gonna cut back on alcohol. I'm gonna lose weight. This'll fix it. Right. This'll fix it. That's the sad old white man marching orders, fanfare trumpet. If ever there was a rallying call of the old dad, it would be that'll fix it. Whether it's, you know, WD-40 or duct tape or drinking less alcohol or losing weight, oh, that'll fix it. So I did. So what I got was these. THC gummies that I got from Lumi Labs, and the ones I got are a little too strong, so I have been cutting them up into quarters, and it's good because it alters me just enough where I'm like drinking. I would not notice alcohol if I drank it, right? Like, and I've tried, right? Like, I've been on these Lumi Labs gummies, and I drank on it, and I was just like, I feel exactly the same on the gummy with no alcohol and on the gummy with alcohol. So what's the point of drinking, right? I feel the exact same. So what's amazing, though, is I didn't have to do anything to get them, right? I just went on the website and, you know, just bought them, right? Like, in the old days, you'd have to do some shady shit, or I'd have to drive to San Jose, because we don't have weed dispensaries in the Bay, in the peninsula. So you would have to go to San Francisco or San Jose or Hayward. God forbid I go to Hayward. And so I just had them mailed, right? I had illegal drugs just mailed to my door. And I'm like, okay, great. And so this same idea, I was like, well, I need dick pills. So I made the mistake or the fortune, we that is yet to be determined. I got this ad on Facebook once. It was, I'm not sure how big it is, because they just took a picture of it by itself. And it was like, yeah, jam it on your prostate or something, and it shocks the shit out of your prostate. And I was like, what is this thing? This thing looks gnarly. And so I clicked on the ad, and so sure enough, now I was getting all kinds of dick stuff in my Facebook feed from now until forever. But I started getting all these ads for Hims. And Hims is crazy. It's a nice looking website, but they specialize in pills for anything that a dude might want, right? Not horny enough, you're too horny, yeah, you're losing your hair, They don't have one for you got too much hair. That one I haven't seen, but I guess that's not a problem for nobody's like, oh, I've got all this hair. No, nobody's ever saying that. But they've got one that is for like, hey, boners aren't strong enough. I'm like, yes, click. And it's all regular medicine. Like some of these websites, you're like, a special blend of herbs and government-sanctioned voodoo dolls are, ooh, they will do the trick for you. And I'm like, no, okay, I don't know about that. But Hims is like, we got, hey, kiddo, come here. You want Viagra? You want Cialis? You want some horny goat weed? We got it all. You just tell me. Look, I'm not going to push anything on you. You just say what you want, and I'll give it to you. And that's pretty much it, right? You go on the website, you click a bunch of checkboxes, you tell them what other medications you have, you tell them what other medical conditions you have, and then you get a message from a quote-unquote certified medical specialist in your inbox and says, you seem like a good candidate for Viagra. So, how about that? So that's what I did. So I got myself some Viagra. I will say I like it. It's great. It does the job. I'm a big fan. I think it might give me a little bit of a headache, but I don't care. I don't give a shit. I mean, bring on the headaches. If I get boners again, perfect. So then they just mail it to you, right? So you just give them your credit card, they mail it to you. Fantastic. And it works. And I'm gonna look, I'm probably paying more for it through this website, but I know my doctor. My doctor is all about like, we shouldn't put you on medication. You should just eat more fruit. And I'm just like, fuck you, give me the drugs, damn it. So what I'm saying is, the moral of the story is, if you're having dick problems, don't be too proud to get yourself Viagra. We're getting older. It's just the way it's gonna go from here on out. There's no shame in it. Okay, so here's the last thought that I have. While we were in Ashland, there was a song that came on something, some streaming service. I was gonna say the radio, but nobody listens to the radio. That's crazy talk. What am I, 87? Yeah, my dick thinks I'm 87, am I right? I don't remember the artist, I don't remember the song. It was a pretty good song, but there was a line in it specifically that said, there is a murder on the dance floor. You better not kill the groove. Now, I heard that and I thought, okay, who is the author of this song talking to? Because I thought it could be either way. It could be to the DJ. Hey, DJ, you better not kill the groove, even though there was a murder on the dance floor. I mean, look, this guy's clearly got his priorities all wrong and very self-involved, but okay, I get it. He's having fun, doesn't want to kill the groove. So the other perspective though is he is talking to the dead body, right? So maybe this guy's tripping balls on Molly or whatever, and he sees there's a murder on the dance floor, doesn't see the murderer, just sees the dead body, and he's like, hey, you better not kill the groove. I'm having a good time here. Hey, starts shaking him, like pushing him with his foot a little bit. Hey, better not kill the groove. Because, you know, once that groove is gone, you can't get that groove back. I know Stella got her groove back, but I'm telling you, dance floors and Stella are not the same thing. So we've got just like 15 more seconds of this song, and I hate to cut it off prematurely because, well, we're almost done. We're almost there. it would be silly to cut it off now. But I'll just, you know, look, stay tuned, right? We'll see where I land, how I land, and how long I stay at this company. Because right now, boy howdy, it is a big giant question mark. And in 5, 4, 3, 2, 2.5, and from me, from the music of Bright Brown and the bones of J.R. Jones. Good luck, everyone, and let's do this one more time. Till then!